Oh, bring you greetings this morning from the Lord Jesus, who was and is to come, the Lord Almighty, and who also said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Looks like the light's a little bit loopy this morning. Actually, I felt a little bit loopy this morning, too. We were here last week, and all last week, we were here last Sunday. All last week, totally different setting, totally different people. And here we are back this morning. So here we are. Traveling mercies, see lots of people. Bring greetings from Steve Ulrich. Steve had meetings here. Marcia, remember him? We remember Paul and Elsie, they were coming to church one night, hit a deer. So they made bologna, right? Remembers hitting the deer on the way to revival meetings. I didn't look what year that up with. We had breakfast with Steve one morning, and he sends his greetings to everyone here. And actually, Andy, he preached in Detroit, that church plant that they're connected with, Open Gate, in November. So, as a pastor, I think a lot about, let's start this way. As a parent, as a person in a family, do you think about your families sometimes? Do you think about your families? Are you married here this morning? Raise your hand. Do you think about your spouse ever? Huh? Do you have children? Do you think about your children? All right. Do you have a brother or sister? Do you think, and that might be positive or negative, but John, Nathan, do you have a brother? Yeah, you're sharing a bit. All right. So you think about each other sometimes, right? All right. So I'm thinking about the church this morning. And as a pastor, I think a lot about church and congregation life. When I go back to my home in Illinois, I am just, it's too big of a story to tell, but the Mennonite witness there is totally different than when I was there when I was growing up. It's changed for the worse, I think. And there are two conservative churches in the area now. And so that was one of the reasons. Steve, let's have breakfast. I haven't seen Steve for a long time. Let's talk about getting older and sheep and church. And so we did. They have some sheep. They have 30 Angus cows. And also, I think he farms about 400 acres, which isn't real big for Central Illinois. But so we had a good time together and catching up on our families. And years ago already, Sharon was asked to teach school out there. It's like, oh, boy, how our life could have changed so much. But one of the Hartzler boys, one of them living out there and attend the Lynn Township Mennonite Church. And is it Dirt Devin and... Oh, he might be in Detroit. But anyway, one of Dan Hartzler's boys relocated out there. So anyway, talking about church and our church life, and it's kind of like people. Sometimes it's amazing what becomes of a person. You think about people you may know, are they doing well, are they doing bad, they're going back, they're going front, and churches are like that. And the farmer I worked for at home, they belong to a church, very active. And my parents are actually members there. And it grew lots and lots and lots. And now it's just dwindling out. And they're talking about some of the challenges they were facing. And not a conservative church. Think of it as a Bible community church type thing. And whatever label we have, churches have their challenges. And Val Yoder had printed a book some time ago. I seen it at SMBI. It's sort of a workbook, okay, about thinking of being the blessing, a call to love and brotherhood. And it's sort of workbook format. And knowing you and you knowing me, some of you are not going to like this at all because it's just, this is just busy work and whatever. In other words, some of you would, this is really cool. But it's just a two-page thing. It's a different topic every week. Like here, week 13, the mind of Christ, some scripture here. good works that glorify the Father. And then there's a place to note some notations. So each of you have one of these in your mailbox, whether you like it or not, okay? And it's just a little experiment. It's up to you. You know, it's what you get out of something is what you put in it. So it's not a requirement, but Dean and whoever has the deacon announcements is going to kind of recap that week just to keep it fresh in front of your mind, testimony time, to stimulate our thinking about church life, our congregational life, okay? So, yeah, you're not graded on it. You're not, I think some of you will enjoy it. Some of you may not, and it's okay. But use it as a tool that benefits you. And it's just something out there that may or may not help you. So by way of this message this morning, I like to think about Rollinsville congregation. And that's a pretty long name, isn't it? Rollinsville, I don't know how many letters there, but I never made a lot of acrostics, but I didn't do an acrostic out of the word name Rollinsville. And I confined myself to the book of Ephesians and looking at some of the basic foundational teachings that Jesus has as far as church life goes. And so as I sat with my mother and she crocheted and we sat at the dining room table, this is the message that came out of the nursing home this last week, okay? So, you know, what makes church life? And in the Bible, it's interesting that Jesus uses three different analogies to describe the church. Can you name them here this morning? Three different analogies. In other words, three different things that Jesus compares the church to. A bride. That's right. Excellent. A building and a body. A body. And so two of those are found in Ephesians. The body is found in Corinthians, Paul's writings. But in second chapter of Ephesians, the very end of the chapter, verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers, foreigners, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also, you and I here this morning, built together a habitation of God through the Spirit. And so that tells me that God is actually indwelling his people. People are placed, many members, in a body that edifies one another and builds up a fitly together, grows a holy temple of the Lord, where God actually dwells in that through the Spirit. I think that's really awesome when you think about that. So anyway, all right, we have a several point message this morning. We better get going here. R, Rollinsville. I think of redemption. Redemption is, in the Bible, the number one doctrine. It's God's business. It is the very basic purpose of why God, Jesus, came to earth, being the whole doctrine of redemption. Chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul begins saying, all these blessings that we have in heaven, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen in us before the foundation of the world, that we should be a holy, without blameless before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And Paul's sentences keep going on and on and on. My English teacher would never have accepted that run-on sentences, but it seems like Paul just gushing out all these spiritual blessings that we have. And redemption. The salvation plan right here in chapter 1 is election. God, the Father, has chosen us, predestined us to be adopted into his family. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so that these verses here in salvation's plan is the Father's part, verses 3 through 6. The Son's part, Jesus, verses 7 through 12, in whom we have redemption. Jesus is the means by which a sinful man like me could come in fellowship and with a holy God who wants to dwell in my heart. And Jesus makes that possible. Redemption simply means being bought back, being bought back. And we have been lost. Humanity is lost. Humanity is bent towards sin. Our human nature is bent towards sin. And redemption is God's work in buying us back from the works and the power of the devil. And that's what simply redemption means. And it is purchased through Christ's blood. And then the third person of the Trinity, the work of the Holy, the work of salvation, the Holy Spirit is found in verses 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. In a sense, we have been redeemed now. Yes, we are today. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has bought you. You are bought with a price. You are not your own, Paul says. You're bought with his precious blood. And so we have that seal of the Holy Spirit, that indwelling of God that gives you the assurance that you are his and you belong to him. And then that full redemption plan comes, you know, when our physical body is raised in the heavenly body, and the full redemption story is a reality when we get into that glory land and see Jesus as he is. And so redemption is the basic foundation. It's what our church here at Rollinsville needs to be about. First of all, redemption. You see, we're not people that just need dusted off. We are people that need cleansed. We are people that need to repent. We are people that need to submit to the Lord Jesus and to realize that we have been bought back from the works of the devil, are bent towards sin. We have been bought back, and that was by the blood of Jesus. Let's go to the next letter, A. In Ephesians, we have this phrase, as unto the Lord and as the Lord. And we find that primarily in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 5 and verse 22, it begins, wives, submit yourselves as unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. And as we go down through this passage, you have this as unto the Lord or as the Lord phrase. And so that's my letter A, Rollinsville, as unto the Lord. And so it's doing to some others as if you're doing them to Jesus, as unto the Lord. And number two, you're doing some of these things as Jesus himself does. And so we have the word submission here, and submission is simply means you arrange yourself under the protection of another. And so a wife arranges herself, places herself under the protection of her husband, as the church places itself under the protection of Jesus. And so you have this this phrase, as unto the Lord and as the Lord. And my purpose this morning isn't to go through all these verses, but to hit these highlights, as unto the Lord and as the Lord. Husbands love as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Husbands love their own bodies. They nourish and they cherish their own bodies. How many of you men? Okay. You want a broccoli salad or a T-bone steak? Which is more pleasing? See, his passage says no man. You know, we nourish our own bodies. And so in the same as you do that, you nourish your wife. Jesus nourishes his church, members of his body, flesh and bone. And he says, this is a great mystery. Verse 32, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. And so the phrase, as unto the Lord and as the Lord. Rollinsville, R-A-W. W, we have the concept of walking in Ephesians. Go with me to chapter 4 for the first of these. Chapter 4 and verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And he tells us how to do that. Well, if you walk worthy of your vocation, you are there's some characteristics about your life that shows that you're walking worthy of your calling. And lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another is part of that walk. Okay? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so you know, and I know, that whenever you organize anything, whether it be Christmas caroling or fellowship meals or whatever we're organizing, there's going to be what? Difference of opinions. Notice it's opinion. Opinion is something that someone is biased to. It's not necessarily right or wrong, but it's an opinion about how to get along or how to do something, how to organize. And so when we're walking through organizing something, lowliness, meekness, forbearing with one another. In the Bible, we have 50 some expressions of one anothering. I do not believe this morning in the so-called invisible church. That is to say, you know, people that get the notion, there's all kinds of notions going around. They come and they go. And one of those notions is the invisible church. I belong to Jesus. And so, you know, he has his universal church, and that is true. But how can you want another in an invisible church? How can you want another with, you know, my brother down the street or across the world? Now, practically speaking, in the local congregation, that's God's habitation through the Spirit. That's how I believe this morning. God doesn't have an invisible church. He has a visible church that you can see, you can observe. And here are people walking worthy of their calling. They're calling to be Christians. Lowliness, meekness, forbearing one another in what? Love. Love is the oil that makes the engine turn. Love is the thing that keeps the chain from getting rusty and cranky. Cranky. That's a pun on words, okay? Getting along, making the thing work. You know, it's not so much, I've had ideas. And sometimes they go over like lead balloons, you know, and sometimes they go. And so I asked Nolan, Dean, Paul, you know, do you think this is a good idea? Should we do? And they looked it over and they said, yeah, I think we'll try it. We'll try it. So we're going to try this workbook. And like I said, some of you are going to like it. Some of you aren't. That's okay. I'm not making a judgment, but how it serves you, that's with you. So walk worthy of your vocation. Verse 17, walk not as Gentiles. Jesus has instructions for us. You know what? If we're with Jesus, there's some things that you learn. Verse 20, you have not so learned of Christ. And the verses above there talk about, you know, verse 17, walk not as other Gentiles, vanity of their mind, their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. You and I make decisions. Our values are based upon our knowledge of God and who he is and what he expects of us. And these Gentiles, verse 19, in the past, they had given themselves over to lasciviousness. That is to say, there are people that live like cats and dogs, in plain words, okay? Lasciviousness. I said all of us are bent towards sin. All of us are bent towards evil. All of us are bent towards the work of the devil, Satan, having control over our lives. And so these people are under that. They've given themselves under lasciviousness and work all uncleanness and greediness. You know, there's only one person in the whole world, and I'm it, greediness. And my decisions, my values are based upon what I want, not what how it affects other people. Verse 20, you have not so learned of Christ. Don't walk as the other Gentiles. Walk not as the Gentiles. But and then we drop down to chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love. A love, again, is the oil that makes the engine run smoothly. As Christ has also loved us. Here's one of those as phrases. Christ has loved us. Now, when you are trying to get along with a difficult person, what are you going to think about? That difficult person or how Jesus loves that person? It changes our mindset, doesn't it? Yeah. Or How would you want Jesus to think about you? And in that way, we need to think about how he thinks about other people. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Paul, is that the passage you referred to this morning? We were late. We were late. But I remember coming at the step, Paul Lamar said, you know, how do you smell before God? How do you smell before Jesus? Okay, Philippians 4 here. It must be the same author, right? The Holy Spirit. Be a sweet smelling savor right here. All right. How do you smell before God? Walk in love. Walk as children of light, chapter 5, verse 8. We're on the W. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you're in the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then in verse 15, we have another walk yet. See then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Fine antlered buck that ends up on somebody's living room wall was not walking circumspectly. He wasn't looking around carefully enough, and he met his end. Now he's a trophy in somebody's living room wall. So walk circumspectly, walk wisely, walk, you know, circumspectly. Ian, what grade are you in school? Are you in geometry? Have you learned circumference? Circumference is the distance around something, all the way around. Circumference, measure circumference, circumspectly. So have your eyes open all around you. Walk. All right. RAWL. L. In Ephesians, we have a lot of L's. Let him that stole steal no more. We're in chapter 4. Let him who stole steal no more, verse 28. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to him that needs. So the number one L here is let him who stole steal no more. Let him work. Useful labor with his hands. Another L is found in this passage. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There's something about nursing homes where the older people kind of lose their reserve and the filters fall off, and all of a sudden some words come out that they would never have said before sometimes. Why is that? Or maybe you and I, in our sound mind and body, you know, something bumps us really wrong. You know what's inside when we get bumped? Whatever is inside when we get bumped splashes out, you know. So let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And I heard my godly grandpa say when he's trying to get the corn planter ready one time, I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old. I heard him say something I never thought I'd hear my grandpa say. But you know how it is. We're people, and oh man, there's nothing a hammer can't fix, right? So we're prone to these things. Redemption. We've been bought with a price. We belong to somebody. We have not learned these things from Christ. So we're learning. All right, just because, yeah, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And so that's a practice, you know, which is good to the usifying of edifying. And sometimes people are just bent on being a little bit critical and a little bit, nothing's right and everything's wrong. And if you have a whole lifestyle of that, So use your mouth to edify, build up, minister grace unto the hearers. Isn't that a beautiful passage? And grieve not the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Let no communication, corrupt communication, come. The Holy Spirit teaches us. How many of you have arrived? How many of you got straight A's? How many of you are? No, Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of God. We all have a high calling. So, anyway, another L. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Okay, RAWLI. In Ephesians, we have a lot of in whom, in Christ. In Christ, I am blessed. We can go back to chapter 1. In Christ, we are blessed. We are chosen. We are predestined. We are adopted. We are accepted. And because of that, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, we are redeemed. We are forgiven. We are enlightened. We have an inheritance. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we are assured. This is all possible because of in Christ. In Christ. R-A-W-I-L-I-N. N, Roland N, new man. In Ephesians, we have passages dealing with the new man. Chapter 2 and verse 15. Verse 14, he is our peace, who hath made both one. Jesus has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. And primarily talking about the Jews and Gentiles here, even the law of commandments containing the ordinances, for to make in himself one twain of twain, one new man, so making peace. And so these nasty Gentiles that have their minds darkened and they're given over to lasciviousness can actually become a one man with these godly, self-righteous Jews. I say, you know, these Jewish people who had the commandments of God. And no, not that they ought to be self-righteous and they need Jesus just as much. But one, they take the Gentile and the Jew. Jesus takes the Gentile and the Jew and makes one new man. I saw a lot of nationalities in the airports yesterday. And they're all welcome. They're all invited to come to make one new man in Christ Jesus. All kinds of people, the world over, cultures, it transcends cultures and languages and all kinds of people. All kinds of people. God has his children all over the world. One new man in Christ. And then another sense of the new man is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Back here, those nasty Gentiles, we haven't learned of Christ, you know. But verse 22, put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Put it off and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, so that you put on a new man after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. One convert was accused of their mother saying, you've been brainwashed. He said, yes, of course I've been brainwashed. I have a new way of thinking. I have a new way of living. It's called renewed in your mind. How does Paul write Romans 12, 1? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are renewed in our mind by reading this book and applying this book and walking worthy of our calling. Okay, that's how we are renewed, and thereby we put on a new man. So in our Christian life, in our church life, there's a putting off and a putting on. And so far, I found out I still got to put off, and I need to put on, and so do you. All right, we're ready for S, the first S in Rollinsville, speaking the truth in love. Chapter 4 here, verse 4, Ephesians 4, and verse 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? There's differing people that have differing offices in the church. Why? Why is there different offices in the church? Verse 12, for the perfecting or for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the body of Christ. And so I can sit in your Sunday school class and be instructed by you. Me, the pastor, needs instructed by you. And you need instructed over the pulpit. So why? So that we're all equipped. The equipping of the saints. That's the work of Rollinsville here this morning for the work of the ministry, the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a complete man, the measure and stature, the fullness of Christ. Boy, that's a high order, isn't it? Isn't that a goal? You say, I can't reach that. But you don't, you know, the call is to reach for that. Walk with Jesus. He'll teach you. He don't expect you to become, you know, If you're 18, he doesn't expect you to be a 50-year-old Christian. Start today. Walk with the Lord today. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And there's lots of isms out there. There's a lots of notions out there. And do they all line up with what Jesus teaches? Speak the truth in love. And so that's what we need to do to each other in our congregational, our church life in Rollinsville. Speak to each other the truth in love. Christian growth comes in the family by speaking truth. Because it goes on to say, the whole body is fitly joined, connected people. The joint supplies the effectual working, the measure of every part makes the increase of the body unto the edifying itself. And so what I speak to you and what you speak to me, the goal is to edify, build up, not yourself, but the group. Rollinsville, SVI. In Ephesians, we have in the fear of God. And I'll take you to Ephesians 5, verse 21. This is the forgotten sentence. This is the forgotten verse. Because we always start reading at verse 20. Wives, what? Submit. No, in verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Church life, home life, school life can hardly exist without submission. The self life destroys family life, church life, school life, any kind of life. Self life destroys any relationship that we are in. And so there's where submission. Submission simply means arranging yourself under the protection of another, recognizing we have authorities over us to protect us. And so here the call is, I don't care if you're a man or woman or older or younger, you submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We can go to Peter and read about that too. The importance of submission in church life. That was S. Let's go to V. Rollinsville, V. I think of victory. And the only way that we can have victory is in Ephesians chapter 6. And in verse 10, we begin reading about putting on the whole armor of God. Sometimes, the Bible warns us, the Bible warns us, take heed to yourself, lest you fall. Pride goes before a fall. But we need to recognize that we are no match for fighting off the Satan and the bent towards evil. Are bent towards sin. And so here's the victory. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, putting on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, facing our adversary. Did you notice in all this armor, there's nothing for the back? It doesn't say anything about the back. Why is that? You're not to turn tail. You are to face your enemy. You're to face your challenges. Sometimes I'd rather, oh, let's go around this. No, you face the enemy, you stand against the enemy, and you're able to do that only when you put on the armor of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, you and I are not the enemies, but it is, as it says here, principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. That's what's against us. So, in order to have victory, we need to put on the armor of God. The next letter is I, in the fear of God. Did I do that one already? Did I jump ahead? I think I jumped ahead. Anyway, we did that. Ephesians 5:21. I. Okay, now we have two L's. We're on the ville. All right. L. Back to Ephesians chapter 5. Let's get a little more specific about verse 5 and verse 33. Nevertheless, every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Love. So in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. I have a little acrostic that I got some of it from Dave and Ann Wilson. They're speakers on family life on the radio, but I've tweaked some of this. But I like their acrostic, CHEER. This is for women to cheer your man, all right? CHEER, C, cheer him on. And the thought is that when we're little boys, you know, we say, oh, boy, you did a good job. You ran, and we're cheering them on. And they become adolescents, and they become teenagers, and the men become older, or little boys become big boys, and all of a sudden we start tearing them down. And the world all around us are tearing men down. And so instead of cheering them on, we start, boo, you're not doing it good enough. And so, and I have to say this, dear sisters, you know, sometimes we have to fix these men. We have to prune them here and prune them there. That's not cheering them on. That's booing them. And they feel like they're being pruned to death, you know. And so you got to find ways to cheer them on. Say, you know what, honey? That was a really good job. I appreciate how you do that. Maybe he's not there yet. Maybe he's, you know, in your mind, but you got to cheer him on. You're gonna encourage him more by cheering him rather than booing him. Okay. Honor his differences. Honor his differences. Men and women think different. Women are spaghetti. They have all kinds of intertangled and thoughts. And sometimes when I'm talking to Sharon, I said, how in the world is this relating to this? Men, we talk about waffles, you know, everything's in a box, and we're going to tackle this and tackle that. And everything's not all mixed together, but that's just part of being men and women. All right. Another thing for women, sisters, to do. Enter into his area of temptation. Enter into his area of temptations. You can help him. He has areas of temptations. You can help him. Know where there are. Talk about them with him. The other E in cheer, enhance your beauty for him. Little girls are pretty, and they grew up to be beautiful women. There's nothing wrong with the beauty of the female body. Nothing wrong with it. Enhance your beauty, but don't use it for sinful sensuality. There's a difference there. Enhance your beauty. And R, rub shoulders with him, enter into his world. Now, for men, be her hero. Honor her differences. Recognize that she thinks like spaghetti and not everything's in a box. Okay, we talked about that. Energy, E, when you love and accept your sister, your wife, you give her energy. All right, when you love and accept her. R, rub shoulders with her world and her pressures. And O, overcome the temptation to be passive and noncommittal. Cell phone rings. I'm filling an oil tank. Hello, honey. Don't honey me. I got this and this and this and this. And then I say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? I'm not there. Wrong. I need to. All right, got to stop. She called me. She wants to know my opinion. I need to give her my opinion. Oh, I need to give her some instruction, some helpful advice. I'm not there, but I need to enter into her world. Okay, that's the first L. The next L is the love of Christ. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. This is a prayer of Paul. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Man, what a prayer. What a prayer. When you pursue a field of study, and they tell me in school that when you do a speech, you should become an authority on your subject, okay? And here, Paul is praying that we become so full of Jesus and so full of God in our walk with him, that we're just filled with the fullness of God. Can you? There's more to learning. There's more to gain. There's more to, don't ever think you've arrived. And now you're this mature person. And I think that's why God gives us challenges and difficulties sometimes, because he says, I have this circumstance for you to walk through, and you're going to become a better person because of it. And you experience the fullness of God. So the love of Christ, that's what church life ought to be all about. The love of Christ, that Christ is dwelling in your hearts. The inner man is filled. And lastly, we have the letter E, the exceeding riches of his grace. I find that in chapter 2 and verse 7. In chapter 2, we have a description of the person that's dead in his trespasses and sins. And in times past, he's a walking toward according to the course of the world. He's under the dominion of Satan, okay? And in verse 3, he says, that's how all we were. We were under the dominion of Satan in times past. The lusts of our flesh, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, we're by nature the children of wrath. That's how we are before we're redeemed, under the dominion of Satan. But then we have verse 4, but God. Okay? That makes all the difference in the world. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. And his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us, made us alive together with Jesus. And by grace ye are saved. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. The letter E, the exceeding riches of his grace. How a person can come under the dominion of Satan and come under the dominion of Jesus. And I want you to think, this is the last challenge this morning in our church life and your personal life. What makes the difference when we have the but God? Think about in your life, but God. If it wasn't but for God, where would you be? Or what would you do? Or what would the kind of person you would be? But for God, his exceeding riches of his grace. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this house of worship this morning. We thank you for each and every one who makes up this congregation. You have placed us as different people, different opinions, different personalities to be your body. And you are pleased to dwell with your people through the Spirit. We are your habitation. And so as we walk in love and walk circumspectly and walk worthy of your calling, we want to learn from Jesus. Lord, as we start a brand new year on the calendar, that we would walk closely with Jesus and listen for his voice and recognize the difference that, but for God, you have made in our lives. Help us to press towards the high calling that you have laid for us. Help us to not to be like dead fish floating downstream, but to go against the currents. And thank you for the promise that we could be filled with Jesus, his love in our hearts. First of all, for him and for all those around us. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.